less than a few minutes. Pesach Sheni, this year, as you mentioned, is very significant because this year Pesach obviously was very, very different. First, let's understand, what is Pesach Sheni all about? Pesach Sheni is a Yom Tov for two different categories of people. Rechoikim and Tameim. People that were Rechoik, people that were not in Yerushalayim, people who were distant, they were traveling towards Yerushalayim, and somehow they missed the train, they missed the boat, and they were not able to arrive on the 19th day of Pesach in Yerushalayim, what we call the Rechoikim. And Pesach Sheni is also for the Tameim, someone who was in Yerushalayim, someone who was present but was unable to eat from the Korban Pesach because he was Tamei, he was, let's say, assumed Tamei Meis, and therefore he was just unable to eat the Korban Pesach. So we have over here really two different categories of people. People that were physically distant and people that were spiritually distant. And we say spiritually, it means they were talking about, okay, two different, it's a very fascinating concept, two different types of distance. Physical distance and spiritual distance. They were both unable to bring the Korban Pesach, and now they get a second chance. Lama Nigara. It says in the parasha of Vayihyu Anash Mashayu Tumim Lenefesh Adam. There were people that were Tameh, they were not able to bring the Korban Pesach. Who were these people? This really goes back to the Rambam in this parasha. These were Elazar v'Isamar. Elazar v'Isamar, the people that were Mekapel with the body of Nadav v'Avihu, the people that were busy themselves with caring for another of you, they were not able to purify themselves in time
Elazar and Isamar weren't allowed. It was Elitzafon, Mishael, V'Elitzafon.
Elitzafon, and who was the other person?
Mishael.
They were not able to.
Elazar and Isamar weren't allowed.
Elazar, Mishael,
V'Elitzafon.
Those that were metapel with Nadav Avihu were Tameim, they were not able to become a Pesach. Okay, so therefore they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they came with the question, Lama Nigora, why should we be denied? Chazal tell us from this concept, Lama Nigora, that if not for them asking the question, Lama Nigora, they never have been something called Pesach Sheni. It's an incredible Yisoid in Yadus. And the truth is, it's not the only place we have such a thing. We have the other thing when it comes to the Nachla Noshim, women, the Benois Salafchad, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said to him, why should we be denied a chelek in Eretz Yisrael? Just because our father did not have sons, and therefore his name, his legacy will disappear, because in those times, if you did not have a piece of land, then the name of the family will cease to exist. Slavka died, he had no sons, the land would thus be transferred to his brother or to his uncle, and there would be no territory, his territory, that until this point in time had upon it his name, would be taken away. Now, I want to go a little bit backwards before we come to Pesach Sheni. There's a question. Why? We appreciate this. It was very important for us to appreciate this principle before we can go to Pesach Sheni. We're comparing at this moment in time Pesach Sheni to the Benois Salafchad. Both of them share something in common. Something was not meant to happen. It was not meant that the daughters of Tzolofchad should receive a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Just like it was not meant to be that there would be a Korban, a Pesach Sheni. It was never meant to be that this Friday should be a day when we do not say Tachanun. It was not part of the original plan, just like it was not part of the original plan. It was not part of the original plan for the daughters of Tzlofa to receive a chilek in Eretz Yisrael. Because the daughters of Tzlofa came forth and said it's not fair, Zelo fear, our father died, and he has no sons, and the laws of the Torah state that the land will automatically be transferred to either the brother of Tzlofchad or to his uncle, and his name will cease to exist from the earth. It's not fair. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell the daughters of Tzlofchad, because of their desire to have a portion in the land, and their father, I guess the kibud avoim, you have to understand, it's also a factor in Pesach Sheni, because of the kibud avoim, you're right, Lama, you're right, let us guarantee that the daughters also receive a piece of land. Here's the question. What's so terrible if they don't receive land? Why is Tzlofchad any different than the entire Shevet Levi? The entire Shevet Levi did not receive a Nachala in Eretz Yisrael. And no one's complaining. You don't find any member of the entire Shevet Levi coming forth and saying, we also want a chelik in the land. And Hashem says, you're right, I'll give you also a chelik in the land. It doesn't seem it was proper for the people in Shevet Levi to come forward and ask Hashem for land. So why then should B'nai Tzlofchad be any different if it's not meant to be, it's not bashert for them to get a piece of land, so it's not bashert. Why should they feel that they should be different than Shevet Levi? And the answer is obvious. And what is so obvious by B'nai Tzlofchad is also critical in understanding the halachas of Pesach Sheni. The answer is because Shevet Levi were never meant from day one to get a chelik in the land. And being there was never even a hava mina that they should have a piece of land, because their avoda, their service, is to be in the Beis HaMikdash and to serve Yerushalayim and Klal Yisrael in the capacity of Kehanim and Levim. That's why it was not meant to be from day one, they should have a piece of land. So there's nothing to complain about. Whereas Tzlofchad, it was meant to be. It was meant to be. Tzlofchad was married. He had children. It just worked out that he didn't have any boys. But Tzlofchad does have land. And al derech hateva, he would have children and the land would pass down to his descendants. It was meant to be. So if it was meant to be, what's the problem over here? Why indeed? It's not fair. Oh, it was meant to be. And you lost out? Okay. Now, you're right. We're not going to deny it from you. We're going to allow the daughters also to receive a portion in the land. This principle, not that it has to be related, but it is a very powerful concept, which is a debate regarding Pesach Sheni. What do I mean by that? What will happen now if today Mashiach will come? Let's say today Mashiach will come and, Mashiach is here. We're going to build another Beis HaMikdash, and we're going now to have Mashiach. So the first thing is, Pesach Sheni. Let the entire Klal Yisrael get a hold of sheep, and let's go to the Beis HaMikdash, and let's offer the Pesach Sheni. Not so fast. The rules of Pesach Sheni only operate when we were entitled, it was meant to be a Pesach Rishon. If we have a Pesach Rishon, just like Tzlofchad has land, and Tzlofchad was meant to give over his chelik in the land to his daughters, and something went wrong, so then there's a complaint. Why should they lose out? If it was meant to be a Pesach Rishon, where the entire Klal Yisrael is offering a Korban Pesach LaHashem, and there is a member of Klal Yisrael, which happens to be distant, whether he's distant in proximity, physical proximity, or he's distant in tuma, okay, then they can say lama nigara. But if it was never meant to be for anyone like Sheva Levi, then there is no lama nigara. So therefore, the point over here is that why in the world b'zman hazeh do we even bother with Pesach Sheni? There's no Pesach Rishon. The Indian to commemorate Pesach Sheni only first begins if there is a potential of Pesach Rishon. We b'zman hazeh don't have potential for Pesach Rishon. There is no Beis HaMikdash. We are in Golus. There is no Pesach Rishon. So to focus and dwell upon the possibility of, oh, look at that, it could have been the Pesach Sheni. What are we doing? It's out of reach. It's like today a person in Sheva Levi coming along and demanding a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Excuse me, it was never meant to be for you. Don't come and complain and commemorate something that you have absolutely no connection to. So it is a bit of a mystery. And in fact, many Gedolei Yisrael were critical. They were critical of our celebration of Pesach Sheni B'zman Hazeh and things that we do. For example, to eat matzah. For example, the minig not to say tachnun. There are a lot of minhagim which come on the Pesach Sheni. Many people, they eat matzah. Many people do not say tachanun. Many people view it as a yomtif. And they say Torah and they have a tish. Excuse me, what are you doing? Pesach Sheni is only triggered if there is a Pesach Rishon. If there is a Pesach Rishon, then we can say, oh, we lost out on the Pesach Rishon. Now let us yearn for a Pesach Sheni. We did not have potential to bring a Pesach Rishon. So what are we doing by trying to commemorate Pesach Sheni? This is a fundamental difficulty with our celebration today of Pesach Sheni.
That's what we have.
Add to that.
Excuse me one second. That's the whole machlokis in Moed Katan. If you're chaylish and it's rapid by Aliyas Haregel, if you were putter the first day, is it tashlumin or is it a new chiyuv every day? So if you were putter in the first time, then there's no tashlumin. Then you weren't a bar chiyuv.
Exactly.
So there's nothing to be machlokis.
You were not a bar chiyuv, then there's no Pesach Sheni. So certainly for the entire Klal Yisrael, when Pesach Rishon arrived, there was no Beis HaMikdash, there was nothing. So therefore, this whole thing doesn't even exist. Now to add to that, add to another layer of Pesach Sheni, is even if there was a Beis HaMikdash, let's say arguably there was a Beis HaMikdash, and everyone indeed had an opportunity to bring the Beis, everyone indeed had an opportunity to bring a Karm Pesach, and there happened to be people that were Rechoikim Utmeyim. It's not a good thing to be a rochik and a tame. It's not something you're proud of. It's not something, you know, people today, we live in a society today that if you have a disability, oh, you celebrate the disability.
And it's only
that's not the way the world works.
Rabbi Levine, it's only miut tameim. But if now we're kulanu tameim, rubam tameim.
Okay, that's another principle. That's another principle. We'll come back in a second. We'll come back to that in one second. But yeah. Let's focus on one thing at a time. There are three. You touched number three. I wanted number two. I'm going to come to what you said in one moment. That's a technical halacha. But number two, even in the event where there was a Beis HaMikdash, the Gans Klal Yisrael, 99% of Klal Yisrael did indeed offer a Karban Pesach. Happens to be there are a couple of people that missed the flight. They came late to the airport and they didn't get them on board. And they missed coming to Eretz Yisrael, or for some reason they were tamed, they could not read the Karm Pesach. Are you proud of that? Are you proud of that? Do you go around the world and celebrate your disability? If you were tamed, why were you tamed? You know, maybe you should have been tar. Maybe you could have worked things out. And even if you'll tell me, you know, I couldn't work things out, okay, you couldn't. But it's nothing to be proud of. It's nothing to celebrate. It's a yomtiv for the Tameim and the Rechaikim. Since when do we celebrate disabilities? Do we celebrate people that didn't follow the rules? And there are good reasons not why people don't follow the rules. But it's not something that you highlight and you celebrate and you elevate. It's something that we tolerate. It's something that we have no choice but to accept. But it's not something that you want to put on a pedestal. And this is chashuv. Again, like, it's very hard for us to relate to that in our society, because now society, anyone that has a disability, oh, they have kedima. They're like celebrities. Celebrity people that have disabilities, they're not just, you live in a liberal society, these are special people. They're, in fact, they're better than us. It's hard principle to appreciate. And then Mr. Neumann is saying a third idea. That's really more of a technical halacha. Even if we were living in a zman where we had a Beis HaMikdash and we had the opportunity, let's say there's a Beis HaMikdash, there's a Mizbeach, there's a Koyein, we have animals, we have everything that we need to possibly bring the Korban Pesach. Everything is in place. But happens to be that the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tameim. The majority of Klal Yisrael are Tameim, and they don't bring the Korban Pesach because they are in a state of Tumah. And you'll ask me the question, Tumah Chutra B'Tzibur? Not so simple. Tumah Chutra B'Tzibur does not necessarily apply to the Korban Pesach. Tumah Chutra B'Tzibur applies to the Tamidim and the Misafim. It's not Muchach that Tumah Chutra B'Tzibur applies to Korban Pesach. And let's say for argument's sake, the majority of Klal Yisrael was prevented. I'll give you a good this year. Look at this year. Social distancing. Okay, look at that. Why don't we say that? Let's say that for whatever reason they said there was a miracle. They came to the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone came to the Beis HaMikdash. How in the world do they fit the entire Klal Yisrael in the Azara of the Mikdash in three shifts on Erev Pesach? 15 million people were able to get into the Azara.
That's part of the miracle.
Let's say the government's
part of the miracle.
What is the miracle? It's part of the miracle. So let's say our arguments like this past year, we had a Beis HaMikdash and there's a pandemic, and they say no, you're not going in. The whole Klal Yisrael has to be social distancing. Only can have 10 people come in to the Mikdash at a time. We'll be getting the Rechaikim. Right, we'll be getting the Rechaikim. So the majority of Klal Yisrael is unable to bring the Korban Pesach. So the rules are, if the majority of Klal Yisrael were unable or begeder Tameim or Rechaikim, then there is no din of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni only applies when a miut of Klal Yisrael was unable to bring the Korban Pesach. But if the majority of Klal Yisrael is not able to bring the Korban Pesach, then it does not trigger that a miut, a minority, can bring the Korban Pesach. So in summary, I'm trying to attack Pesach Sheni from three different angles. Number one, Pesach Sheni only applies at a time when there's a potential to bring the Pesach Rishon. Just like I gave you the example with Benois Tzolofchad. They are the ones who said Lama, who demanded to have a chelik in the land, but not Sheva Levi, because Sheva Levi never stood a chance. So they're not in the parasha of chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So too, when we have an opportunity to bring the Pesach Rishon, we can then talk about Pesach Sheni. We don't have that opportunity. There is no Beis HaMikdash. We don't even know where the Mizbeach would be. We don't have Kehanim Gedolim. We don't have Kehanim. We don't have the Bidei Kahuna. There's not even a chance. We're all Tamei. There's nothing to talk about. We're all Tamei. There's nothing to talk about. So Pesach Sheni doesn't even start. Number two, even if Pesach Sheni, we would have a real full-fledged Yom Kippur Pesach, still, since when do we make a holiday to celebrate the Rechokim and the Tmeim. Since when? Since when do we go and do we highlight, do we glorify the people who are the exception? That's not Yadus. That's America. America, we glorify people with disabilities. I mean, it's a terrible thing. Everyone to a degree has a disability. Everyone has a disability. But we're not proud of our disabilities. We live with it. And number three, technically speaking, even if there was a yomtiv, but if the majority of the tzibor, even if we did have a beis hamikdash, the fact is that most of us are rochakim, and most of us were tmeim. So therefore, then the law of Pesach Sheni does not apply, even if we have the potential, because most of us are rochak and tamei. So we have three strikes against us. Yet, it is incredible that today, this really, Pesach Sheni has become really is a more modern holiday. It does not appear that in the old writings, in the old Sfarim, Pesach Sheni was paid attention to. It wasn't paid attention to. It wasn't really something that got much attention. Today, we live in a different world, and we give attention to holidays, to many things. Look at Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer, when I grew up, wasn't a big deal. Oh, it was nice. Lubavitch, Lag BaOmer. You heard about Meron. Who went to Meron? Not that long ago, Meron was not so crowded in Lag BaOmer. Now, Meron, I don't know, this year is going to be a little bit different. This year, obviously, because of the pandemic, it's not going to be the same. But you know, today we've upgraded many of the holidays. And this indeed is you look at the Pesach, he writes over here at the Chazor Nish. Aval, I'm writing from my safe in the safe of Yeshai Beek. I say Aval Chazor Nish. Loi ochal matzois b'Pesach Sheni. V'dayte lohoyo noicha mizeh sho'ichlem. V'omar shemoisif mitzvah loi kisuva adkan. Okay, they write over the Chazor Nish, Litvak was not very enamored by this holiday, basically for the three reasons that I've given you. Mitzat Sheni, on the other hand, many, many people disagree. Many people have found that little golden nugget, that little spark in Pesach Sheni, that little teeny spark which brings out that the desire, the yearning, never to be denied, an opportunity. And it expresses in Golus our deep, deep, intense yearning, our deep, intense yearning for opportunities and coming close to Hashem. To a certain degree, it's an outgrowth of America. America has taught us that you should celebrate disabilities. You should celebrate every opportunity that a person has. It's a beautiful thing. Why not? So even though technically, according to halacha, there are three strikes against it, but the very fact that such a principle does exist, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the Tmeim and the Rechokim, and we in Golis identify with that principle so much, why not? What's so harmful if we celebrate and elevate and cherish this Yom Tov? There's anything that we can identify with in life, it's Pesach Sheni. It's to give us another chance. Even though we messed up, we botched up, we've lost out, still to hang on to a thread, to have something. Okay, that's one idea. Okay, I wasn't running out of time. Two more quick things. I know it's very late. It's my fault. I came 45 minutes late. But I wanted to tell you two more very quick. You say this about Pesach Sheni. You say number two. Those people who do not recite Tachanun on Pesach Sheni, do you recite Tachanun Erev Pesach Sheni? In other words, on Thursday, Pesach Sheni this year is on Friday. At Mincha on Thursday, do we recite tachna? And the answer is yes. Why yes? What makes a Yom Tov into a Yom Tov? It's the bringing of the korban that makes it into a Yom Tov. Ordinarily, when do we bring a korban? The first thing in the morning. Barakai, at the first rays of dawn, that's when the Kohanim, they gear up and they begin to bring the Tamid Shal Shachar, which leads to the Musafim. Pesach, when do we bring the korban Pesach? It's a very unique korban. We bring the korban of the day in the afternoon, in the Bein Harboim, after Chatzos Yom. So the Zman of the Yom Tov doesn't truly begin until the afternoon. Thus, in the morning of Pesach Sheni, it's basically Erev Pesach Sheni. The day before the night is Erev the Erev. The Mincha before Pesach Sheni is already two matches before Pesach Sheni. In other words, the Iker Zman of Pesach Sheni is Mincha. Thus, not to say Tachnun on Thursday, it's two notches. You're going back way too far. You're going back a double notch. You're going back. Shachris alone is enough of a time not to say Tachnun. To go back and not say Tachnun on Thursday in the afternoon, that's like going back two steps. That already is too much. That is why many poskim who indeed do not say Tachnun on Pesach Sheni hold that you should say Tachnun at the Mincha on the day before Pesach Sheni. And the last thing I want to tell you is more of a drush, and that is Pesach Sheni, it relates to the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. And why do I say that? Because Chazal tells, very fascinating Chazal, that Chazal tells us that what did Klal Yisrael do with the leftover hides of the animals they used for the Korban Pesach? And it was the fourth day of Nisan, and Klal Yisrael, they shechted the Korban Pesach, and they had the leftover, they had the hides of the animal. What did they do with the leather, the hide of the seh? Chazal say they used it to make tefillin. They use the hides to make tefillin. What do we learn from that? Tefillin, the leather of tefillin, the hide, tefillin is very much related to Korban Pesach. Okay, in fact, I mean, it doesn't say it explicitly in the parashas of tefillin, but it says the parashas of tefillin talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. They talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't talk about the Korban Pesach, but it discusses that principle. The leather of our tefillin came from the Korban Pesach that we ate to commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, when you take that, and then you understand that there were people that were not able to eat the Korban Pesach, Bizman, because they were Tameim, and they had to bring a different type of Korban Pesach, that automatically carries over into a different type of tefillin. If the tefillin that we wear every single day is a byproduct of the Korban Pesach that was offered on the 14th day of Nisan, then you can't ignore the fact that people who are bringing a Korban Pesach on the 14th day of Iyar and have leftover hides, if those hides are fashioned into tefillin, that's a different type of tefillin. And indeed, every person who wears tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, to a certain degree, the tefillin Rabbeinu Tam represent the principle of Pesach Sheni. So people who are wearing, we all wear tefillin of Rashi. We're all Pesach Rishon people. But people who, in addition, wear tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, to a degree, they are identifying with the yechidim, the individuals who say to Hashem, Lama nigara. Now, what's the proof to this? What is the fundamental difference between Tefillin of Rashi and Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam? There's only one difference. It's the order of the parashas. What is the order of our parashas for the Tefillin of Rashi? Kadesh, V'hoya ki yiviyacha, Shema, V'hoya im Shamaya. The only difference, Rabbeinu Tam, is the last two parashas are reversed. It's Kadesh, V'hoya ki yiviyacha, V'hoya im Shamaya, and then Shema. Shema comes at the end. The last two parashas are reversed.
The Saras is also different that come out from the Shel Rosh.
That's a small point. That's a Kabbalistic point. That's a very small thing.
Okay.
That the here, the where the here comes out. Okay, that's a symbol of where the parasha is.
All right.
What is the mental difference between Shema and the Hoya in Shemaya? The parasha of Shema was said to the Yochid. Ve'ohavto es Hashem Elokecha. You shall love Hashem. The parasha of Hoya im Shemaya was said to the Tzibur. The entire parasha is B'lashon Rabin. And that's why Chazal tell us that the difference of Chol Me'odecha, where it's positioned, the Mamoin, when it comes to the Tzibur, there are many different drashas that focus on this, the fundamental difference between the two. But the main point is, Shema is a parasha for the Yochid. The Hoya im Shamaya is a parasha for the Tzibur. In the Tefillin of Rashi, the Yochid is where he belongs. The Yochid is this Kadesh, the Hoya ki yiviyacha, Shema. The Yochid is centered and he's in the middle. He's sheltered. The Yochid is sheltered on one side by the parashas of Kadesh, the Hoya ki yiviyacha, which also pretty much describe the Tzibur. And the parasha of the Hoyom Shemaya, which also describes the Tzibur. In the Tzilin Rabbeinu Tam, the Yochid gets lost. The Yochid is distanced. The Yochid is missing. It's Kadesh, V'hoya ki yiviyacha. And now, okay, it's up to the Yochid. Where is the Yochid? Where is the Magid Shir? Where did he go? It's 9:30. Where is this individual? He's missing in action. He's missing. The Yochid is missing. The Tzibur is here, and the Yochid is missing. Where did he go? He's late. He's on the edge. The way the parashiyos of Rabbeinu Tam are ordered reflect the principle of Pesach Sheni. It reflects this principle. Just like our tefillin is a byproduct of the Karbon Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's why the parashas that we put in this box of this leftover sheep is in this order of Kaddish, V'hoyoki V'yachas Shema V'hoyim Shemaya. So Pesach Sheni, those that have to delay, so they're bringing a different Zman. So the byproduct, which is going to result in the tefillin, is going to be different. The yochid is going to be at the end. It's not going to be where the belong of the Shema, which represents the parsha of the yochid, is going to be pushed to the end, not where he belongs. Who wears tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam? Yechidim. It's not for the hamoinam. It's for individuals. It's for individuals that have that appreciation, that sense. Lama nigara. We don't always meet up to Hashem's standards. We don't. We're in Golus. We don't always make it all the way. We don't make it. But just because we don't make it, we have a disability. Still, Hashem, allow us, find room for us as well. Because the truth is, we are entitled. Klal Yisrael, we are ready. We are ready for Mashiach to come. We are really all standing and waiting. Everything should be in place. Lama nigara. Okay, and as you mentioned before, as Ezra Fried mentioned, that this year Pesach Sheni really, in our lifetimes, has new meaning, has very, very special meaning, because this Pesach was a different Pesach. We lost out. This Pesach, we were all ready to go. We were all ready to go. People had tickets. People laid out money. They gave a deposit. They paid full for a Pesach program. Everyone had a plan. Almost everyone had a plan. Everyone's plan was canceled. It's like, is there a makeup? Is there a way that we can be mashlin our plan? Obviously not. But at least this year we have a different appreciation of Lama Nigara. Just because Pesach wasn't the way we expected, maybe we can compensate. Maybe there can be some type of salvation. Maybe Hashem will have Rachmanis on us. And Friday, by Friday, we'll hear news that will bring us enormous pleasure. Who knows? Who knows what could happen by the end of the week? Halavai, we should be zoichet to Maisa of a similar banim when they came to Hashem and they said Lama Nigara. Halavai, that Lama Nigara should echo in our generation as well. And we should feel the Yeshua and the Nechama of good news coming to us this Friday on Pesach.